Heavenly Father, today as your word is proclaimed, I pray that every word that is heard would be one that, Father, would be from you. I pray also, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to work faith in people's hearts and even work faith in someone's heart even for the first time today. Lord, may you be glorified and praised in all we say and do. Amen. So today, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 50, talking about this suffering servant, as Isaiah calls Jesus in the Old Testament. And this servant is indeed coming on a Palm Sunday. And he's a lowly servant because he's not riding on like a white horse, looking all jacked up and ready to go, looking like a king should look with a nice crown and on this steed. Instead, his feet are dragging the dirt while he's on a donkey. He's a servant. Yet, he's also called a king. And on top of all that, he's the Son of God. Who's on a donkey? It doesn't really make a lot of sense. But a lot of things Jesus does doesn't always make a lot of sense. The Apostle Paul in this reading of Philippians even says he took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of a man. Jesus' earthly ministry is only 3 years. Yet, he's fulfilling the purpose of the Father throughout this entire ministry. He's forward focused on the mission that God the Father has given him. What's that mission? To save you and me and every person in this world. That's his role. And in this Holy Week that begins today, we are going to see his passion, his suffering, his death. We're going to see his faithfulness, following the road that leads to Calvary. This servant, the Son of God, Jesus himself, is the very Son of God who we can hear praying in the garden later this week, "Thy will be done," and realizing that he will be bloodied for you and me as God's suffering servant. We're going to hear his voice cry out from the cross, even though he's forsaken, "My God, my God." Yet Jesus obeys the Father's will and accepts this horrible suffering as the perfect, trusting, faithful, obedient servant of God. So then why does this servant, why did the Son of God come? Again, for you and me, as the one, the Lamb, who takes away the sins of the entire world. He dies. And then next Sunday, it's coming, and he's going to rise. And Jesus is vindicated as our Lord of life, just as he trusted that the Father would do that. And so on Palm Sunday, we get to cry out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And there's no looking back for this servant who is the Son of God. And so Jesus, he has a little bit of a problem throughout his time here on earth. There's a number of people and characters who test the resolve of Jesus continuously. The first one is the resolve of Jesus, the servant, was tested by offers from the devil. As Jesus was tempted for 40 days at the beginning of his ministry, 40 days the devil tested him and tempted him, trying to throw him off of that goal that the Father had laid before him, the mission that the Father had laid before him. And Jesus was forward focused. He didn't give in to those temptations. And then the resolve of Jesus was, the servant was tested as his disciples who lived life with him, who he poured into, who he calls his friends, they tried to persuade him. In Matthew 16, it says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. He's telling his disciples this, and Peter takes him aside and begins to rebuke Jesus, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But Jesus turns to Peter and he says, get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me. You're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. The resolve of Jesus, the servant, was tested by the people he was sent to redeem. In Isaiah, prior to chapter 50 and 49, it just describes how the people of Israel are in captivity, and the people appear to be charging God with forgetting and forsaking them. And it's kind of like, it happens a whole lot throughout Scripture, but they're like, God, where are you? Are you with us? You've ditched us. Where are you? And then in Isaiah chapter 50, in our Lutheran study Bible, it says, our gracious God agrees to restore the people in spite of the bonds broken by infidelity and disobedience to God. And this crying out to God, asking, where are you, pleading, seeing if, hey, did you forget us? Did you forsake us? It's a constant problem throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. And the people of Israel, they say, we're in bondage, help us. And yet, what does God do? What God always does, he delivers them. He provides everything they need. Then not too long down the road, they say, we're tired of the food you gave us. Can you give us something else? They complain, they bicker, they complain some more. They have no faith in what God is doing. They question God. They follow other gods. They get impatient with God. I mean, does this sound familiar to you? Perhaps this is not just in the Old Testament and New Testament, but maybe it's in current day as well. That we complain and bicker and then complain some more, or that we follow the ways of man instead of the ways of God because we think we've got it figured out better than what Jesus does. This we see in our world clearly, because we see evil. Evil's not from God. Evil's from the devil himself, or as a result of our own sinful choices as people, us trying to figure out that we think we have a better plan than what God has for us. We see this all the time. And I would say even as followers of Christ sometimes, if we're not careful, if we don't keep that forward focus, we can easily go the way of mankind, which is not the way of God. So look out how Jesus enters into Jerusalem in John 12. Everybody's yelling, hey, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Pharisees are getting angry. And then later in John, a high priest questioning Jesus strikes him with his hand. And soon a crowd, instead of yelling, hey, Hosanna, blessed, is yelling, Barabbas, Barabbas, we want Barabbas. Crucify that character. Jesus later would be mocked, spit upon, and killed. And in Isaiah chapter 50, it says this in verse 6 about the suffering servant Jesus. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. And Jesus had a lot of disgrace put on him. Jesus knew, even in Isaiah, before all of that happened in the book of John, the Gospel of John, he knew it was all going to happen. Yet he paid the price for us anyway. He was forward focused on the goal that the Father had given him to sacrifice his life as the suffering servant for you and me. And yet, as his people, there are still times we forsake him. Daily? Or is it just me? Just me? Yeah? Somebody said, yeah. Well, you just keep listening. Because we're all broken and jacked up, all sinful, each and every day, every second. We all forsake Christ, but he's never forsaken us, not once. And his resolve was present because of the steadfast resolve of Jesus is sustained by no one other than his Father. And here's the awesome thing. Jesus, the suffering servant, who's sustained by his Father to stay forward focused on the mission, he sustains his disciples, followers of Jesus, you and me, because we become weary. Why? We follow the ways of man instead of the ways of God. And that makes us weary because it's not the way we should be going. It's going to make you tired because it's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're going to get worn out with everything that goes on in the world and evil because it's not of God. So when you get weary and when you say, you know what? Pastor Danny's not the only one who has forsaken Jesus. Actually, I have too. And I'm weary. You can come to this place and you can be baptized if you're not already. You can receive the grace and mercy of Jesus through the bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ that restores you, that nourishes you, that replenishes you. You can receive that through the word of God because Jesus has given up everything on the cross for you. He was obedient. He paid this price. In verse 6, when it says, there was people pulling out his beard. You know what that meant? He went through an indescribable amount of shame as he died on that cross for you and me. Yet Jesus had unshakable confidence and faith in God the Father as he set his face like flint. And flint is one of the hardest rocks. So Isaiah is telling us, hey, Jesus is not changing his course or direction no matter what. He has a divine hard-headedness. So next time somebody says, man, you are hard-headed, you can say, I just set my face like a flint. It sounds so much better than hard-headed. I just decided to set my face like a flint. So that's what you can do. Jesus is facing Jerusalem, setting his face like a flint so he can pay the price for you and me. So be forward focused like Christ. How do we do that? We read his word. We spend time with Jesus. We receive the grace and mercy of Jesus through the bread and wine, body and blood. We're baptized. We remember our baptisms knowing that Jesus has done the work for us. He's brought us forgiveness and grace. Don't spend your life majoring in the minors. Don't go the way of the world. Focus on Christ. He is the truth, the only truth you're going to find in this world. You can look elsewhere, you're not going to find it. Set your face like flint on Jesus, because anything else is simply distracting us from Jesus, who is the one true light. Special point for our crew confirmation, our confirmation students. We talked about this a lot, about holding fast to Christ and focusing on Jesus throughout confirmation. You have to set your eyes on Christ, who's given you every blessing in life. I know that's going to be a challenge for you at times in this world, but Jesus has provided a gift for you and for every person in this room. We here, as the body of Christ here at Grace, are your family and support system. Whether we're in person or online, we are here for you. Utilize us. We want to walk with you as you share the hope and joy of Jesus with those in your circles of influence. It's tough. It sometimes it's hard to take ridicule and the abuse that Satan and the world dish out to God's children, his servants, his hands, voice, and feet here on the earth. But the servant tells us he did not hide his face from the disgrace and spitting. He stood up against his adversaries at the time of his trial. That's what you have to do, and that's what we all have to do. And I'm going to be right there with you doing it, okay? Don't look back. Keep your face on Jesus as the author and perfecter of your faith, who loves you, who gave up everything for you. He paid the price for you. He lived, died, and rose for you. May Jesus always remind you of his never-ending, all-consuming love and grace for you. In his name and for his glory, amen. Please rise.